Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, this is Brent Chance. You're listening to Way of Truth Radio. Tonight, we are going to pick back up on our series, Hurt by the Church. This is episode 2. You know, last week, one of the things that I had pointed out was a thing that I'd read about pastors. And I shared that. I actually shared that on my on our Way of Truth Radio Facebook page, which, again, if you want to connect with us here at Way of Truth Radio, the best way to do that is through Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com and search Way of Truth Radio, and you'll find us and just like our page. But anyway, like I was saying, I shared this with everybody last week, and it was basically a pray for your pastor type of thing. And so I put it up on Facebook, and I'll tell you, that thing just exploded all over the internet. It's had almost 21,000 views. It's been shared over 250 times. And just some of the things that was said on there, just to recap a little bit from last week, and that's kind of how I started the show last week, was I wanted to get us, sometimes I think when we think of people being hurt by the church, we only think about people sitting in the pews, but we seldom think about the pastors that have been hurt by the church. You know, the church is the people, right? And so what can happen is that not only can people that sit in the pews get hurt by people in the church, but the people in, you know, up in the pulpit also get hurt. But some of the statistics, just to recap from last week, 97% of pastors have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by their trusted friends. 70% of pastors battle depression. 1,500 pastors quit each month. That's a statistic for you. 1,500 quit each month. Only 10% will retire as a pastor. 80% of pastors feel discouraged. 94% of pastors' families feel the pressure of the ministry. You know, I always tell people, you know, you want to really meet a saintly, godly person, you ought to go talk to a pastor's wife, right? Because that's somebody that has to walk alongside their husband, give up quality family time many times when somebody calls a pastor. You know, a pastor's job is really, it's almost 24/7. I think that was the last statistic on there, that 90% of the pastors report working about 75 hours a week. And so, you know, put that up on the internet, put that up on our Facebook page, and it absolutely exploded, and people sharing that. And so what can we glean from that? What can we glean from that in this series, Hurt by the Church? Well, what we can glean from that is that people love their pastors, right? People love and they want to pray for their pastors. And it really got people thinking about, you know, pastors are people too. Pastors need our prayer, just like our brothers, other brothers and sisters in Christ need our prayer. And they need friendship. They need genuine friendship. And at the end of the day, they're not perfect people. Sometimes I think we think pastors are perfect people. Pastors are not perfect people. Pastors are people that felt like God was calling them to the pastorate to be a teacher. And so they answered that call. They stepped out on a limb, and they stepped out on a limb for you, and they stepped out on a limb for me. And so when we're talking about people being hurt in the church, you know, we need to remember our pastors, right? And so I'm honored tonight to be joined in the studio by a pastor, actually. And so I want to bring Pastor Mark Barton on. Mark, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. Hey, just real quick, you hear the statistics I just ran down?
I did, and I think we were talking earlier. I do not know of a single pastor that has not been hurt. Some definitely just don't let it affect them when they're in front of their congregation.
Yeah.
But behind closed doors, it's a whole different ball game. And it's not that they're being false, but you just can't go around with that all the time. You're trying to show an example of what being Christ-like is,
and there you go.
When you get to the point where you've dealt with the situation and you've come through it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to teach on it,
right?
And at that point, you open up to the people, because now you're healed and you can bring healing to them. But if you do it beforehand, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah. So really, it comes down to a heart issue when it's a pastor that's been hurt. A pastor can't necessarily get up there and show all their emotions on their sleeves because they are to be the example, right? The example of grace and forgiveness and all the things that we try to model. A pastor has to be all of those. And I think you and I were talking off air about how pastors' wives, you know, they're a pastor's wife's defense mechanism, any wife really, is to stand up for their man, right? Is to protect their man and to, by goodness, you hurt them. And because you hurt them, you hurt us and you hurt our family. And I want to protect him and protect our family. And I just have the utmost respect for pastors' wives. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, look, a man leaves his mother and father and he takes on a wife, and the two of them, they become one.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're joined together in the spirit when they get married. I think it takes a little bit of time to become one because we still have issues that we have to work through, even though we're married. I know with my wife and I that it took many years before we began to gel as one.
Right.
So anything that happens to her hurts me. Anything that happens to me hurts her. And it's the same way with our children. Anything that hurts your children as a parent just destroys and hurts your heart on the inside. So, you know, it's that sort of thing right there that I'm talking about. But, yeah, wives, they're the silent sufferers.
Great way to put it.
They go through a lot. A tremendous amount that we don't even know about.
Well, you know, Mark, I've recounted briefly some of the issues I've had being hurt by the church in a situation where I was called before an executive pastor and an elder from the elder board. And you know, I think what you bring up a great point, and that is that seldom you don't walk that walk alone when you've been hurt by somebody in the church. Your wife, you know, when I think about my wife, you know, she had. It wasn't just me that went through that. She journeyed through that with me. And so she had to see me suffering. And because I was suffering, just like what you said, the two become one. When one suffers, they both suffer. And so she suffered through that. And, you know, we continued to attend that church. And you know, she had to attend that church knowing all the false rumors and things like that were being circulated around about me. And, you know, she had to really, really humble herself and to contain her frustration and anger in order to walk alongside me. And to her good credit, she was able to do that. And so, yeah, I just think sometimes, you know, our spouses get lost in translation. Well, hey, Mark, you know, last week, one of the things I brought up in last week's show and was that if you'll just go do a Google search about hurt in the church, you're going to get a return of about 70 million different results. And, you know, if you want to go on YouTube, you can do a search. I think about 14 million results will come back. So I guess what we can glean from that, Mark, is that there's an awful lot of people that have been hurt, quote unquote, by the church.
Well, you look, people, it's sort of like saying, well, I don't go to church because there's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Well, guess what? There's hypocrites out in the world, too, that you'll associate with them. So that's not really the issue. People are hurt in the church, but you know what? They're hurt out in the world as well. But in the church, and I want people out there in Radio Land to understand something, that when you go to a church, not everybody sitting on that pew is healed. People still struggle with sin issues, issues of the flesh. Some people just got saved. Some people have been serving God for 30 years. Let me tell you what. Jesus was a healed human being walking the face of the earth.
Right.
He was even healed. When you take a person's personality and let's say you have a person that is of they're very highly organized person. That type of person, that is a healed portion of that person's personality.
Yeah.
And my wife won't mind me using her as an example. Back in our earlier days, she's still highly organized, but the woundedness, the unhealed portion of her spirit man, when that comes out, that is like eagle's talons ripping you apart.
Mm.
The criticalness that comes forth, and it's sharp, and it slashes, and it cuts. Well, my wife has been through inner healing, has dealt with some of those root issues. She, even after she went through that, then she was a facilitator. So she actually went through it twice. Mm-hmm. That was about 15 to 17 years into our 32-year marriage. Well, now, did everything come out all rosy right after she did that? No. But guess what? Just a few short years later, around the maybe the 19 or 20-year mark, I started to begin to see fruit from the ministry that offered this inner healing, mm-hmm. okay? And so what happened was all those hurts and all those wounds that are basically from our childhood, okay, then what happened is God began to deal with those and take those things out of her life. And where she was hurt and wounded, he began to heal her. Well, you know what? For the last 12 years, my marriage has been absolutely wonderful. I am married to a different woman today.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, where was this? You know, when we first got married, right? But you know what? Love conquers all.
Yeah.
I was a hurt and wounded individual as well, and individuals together in marriage, and you're going to have some conflict. Well, if you bring a single or a couple of people into a church and they're hurt and they're wounded and they have not been healed yet by, you know, by loving, mature Christians, by the Word of God, by all other things, inner healing, deliverance. We were on deliverance a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, all these things. Then what's going to happen is sometimes a person can lash out at you and hurt you, and that can even be your pastor, an elder, a deacon, a church secretary, or whoever, somebody that you looked up to.
Right.
And so this is what happens, and you mentioned it earlier, hurt and wounded people, hurt and wounded people.
Well, and you bring up a good point, Mark, and that point is that what you're dealing with is it doesn't really matter, you know, what the title is they have behind their name, reverend, elder, deacon. The reality is what they're made of, and they're made of flesh. And so, and one of the things we said last week was that, you know, because they are flesh and blood, they are still prone to make mistakes. They're still prone to do things in their flesh because, you know, they are like that. And one of the things I encouraged people last week was to practice is something that I like to call shared grace, right? And so shared grace. And why do you want to practice shared grace? Well, you want to practice it because someday you're going to need grace, because you're going to be the one that's on the giving side of hurting somebody. And so whether you mean to or not, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. And so you want to make sure that you want to give grace and you want to be able to receive grace. And so we want to practice this concept of shared grace. But going to back to what you said, one of the things that you said, and I didn't bring this up last week, you had mentioned it, you kind of touched on it here tonight, was let's say you are hurt in a church, right? And so, however, it's important that you find some healing and peace, because you had mentioned to me, however you leave a church, that's the condition that you will enter your new church in. And so if you leave a church and you're not whole and you're not healed and you're not in a good frame of mind, you're walking into that next church with all that baggage, all that self-doubt, all of that criticism, all of that I'm looking for somebody to do something wrong type of attitude. And that's just not the way you want to enter into a new church. And so you kind of carry that over. So you want to make sure before you leave the church you're in, and I think you could certainly leave the church and have a time of self-reflection and a time with God where you can get healed, but you don't need to walk into your next church home looking for every problem under the sun. I mean, correct?
That's correct. I mean, like you say, if you're if you're hurt and wounded and now you're critical and you're a little bit cast off and you don't want people to be around you and all that, well, when you leave one church and you walk into the next one, guess what? That's exactly what you're going to find. But if you're healthy and happy and whole and you're, you know, doing the stuff, you're doing the things of God, you're the word, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is just radiating off of you. The love of God is radiating off of you. And you leave one church and you go to another because God says, okay, you're done here. And I've got a job for you out in Arizona and I'm going to move you from, you know, from Georgia to Arizona, and you leave and you go to another church, or maybe it's just a church across town. Okay. But when you walk in, you'll be healthy, happy, whole, and you know, everything's going to be good. So, the main thing is the people that are hurt and wounded, what they have to understand is that that's going to happen in life. You're going to be hurt in life. These guys that are out there saying everything's, you know, a bed of roses, well, that might be, but my roses still have thorns. and they prick and they hurt. And we know our first hurts come from our family members.
Right.
You know, and then childhood friends. School kids can be really cruel.
Right.
You know, and it just goes on through life. So one of the things that we have to do is we have to forgive.
Right.
And forgiveness is not a suggestion, Brent.
No.
It is a commandment.
It is.
And, you know, if you can forgive in one shot, that's great. But you might have to forgive 70 times 7 before you get it right. But when we don't forgive, anger and bitterness and resentment comes in, and our spirit man begins to just, it's like a boil, and it begins to fester within our spirit.
Well, last week, Mark, we're on the same track. I call that a bitter root, right? So that root takes hold, and if you don't get in there soon enough and dig that thing out, you know how a root will take off and just finger out and just spread. And the longer you let something go and let it finger out and those roots take hold, the harder it is to get out. And so it is important that you can get to a point of forgiveness, get to a point of grace pretty quickly, lest that root, that bitter root, take hold and really, really take off. You know, Alan, I think Pastor Alan calls it he says there's people that they have a spirit of offense. In other words, they're offended by everything. And so, and that comes from kind of letting that bitter root take hold. And so they're hypersensitive to everything. They're hyper, they're just constantly on guard. And you know, you feel like when you're around those type of people, you almost feel like you're walking on eggshells. And so, yeah, it is important that control of that and kind of cut that root out and get to the bottom of it and get to that place of forgiveness. Just like you said, it's not a recommendation. It's a commandment. That's a pretty...
No, it is a commandment, and I can remember as a kid, we had a lot of monkey grass going down the sidewalk leading to the front door, and the weeds would start growing up, and my mom would say, "Mark, now I want you to weed the monkey grass today because the weeds are getting up high." And oh my gosh, look, waterboard me. Torture me, whatever. Don't make me pull weeds. I hate pulling weeds. To this day, I hate pulling weeds. So what I would do as a kid, you know, I'm going to take the easy road. So I pulled all the weeds off, cut them off at ground level.
Right?
Hey, yep. Look what I did, Mom. I got rid of the weeds. Oh, you're such a good boy. Yeah. Well, guess what? 2 weeks later, the weeds have grown back up, and she knows that I didn't dig down and get to the root of the problem.
Right.
If you want to get rid of the weeds in your life, you've got to get to the root of the problem.
And Mark, don't you think sometimes, Mark, though, I'll tell you, a lot of good can come out of being hurt by somebody else, because it does cause you, and it should cause you to do some self-reflection, right? You should before you put that microscope facing out, you ought to turn it in first and make sure, examine yourself. And in that examination, I think people are far too quick to turn the magnifying glass out and try to look at, you know, at what, you know, everybody else has a problem. It can't be me, Mark. I'm just this upstanding citizen, this child of God that's walking this path. And the reality is, the first thing we need to do is take that magnifying glass and turn it inward and take a good long look at ourselves and make sure that we're not part of the problem.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah.
What did we do? We think we're so super spiritual sometimes, but what did we do to offend that person that hurt them so bad? If we were really in tune with the spirit, we would know not to tease them on that day, because, you know, hey, they're in a
bad place.
They're in a rough place,
yeah.
And they can't handle the teasing. And, you know, look, that's my personality. I like to have fun and kid with people and tease, but I'm telling you, in my lifetime, I've teased when I shouldn't have teased.
Right.
And I've had to apologize to people. And I don't say I'm sorry, because to me, if you do something wrong and you say I'm sorry, that's not good enough. You need to apologize. And I believe that there is a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Saying I'm sorry is like, okay, well, I got caught, but, you know, whatever. But when you say I apologize for what I have done, I didn't mean to offend you, and it hurts me and it grieves me. Well, that's totally different, and healing can come from that.
Right.
But if we were really walking in the spirit, and we were walking with the gift of discernment, which sometimes my gift of discernment doesn't work well. Danielle's works great. I will open my big mouth and say something, and I've hurt people, and I've been hurt, but I've hurt people, and I've had to apologize for what I have done, because, you know, look, I'm just wanting to have fun and tease a little bit. I didn't mean any harm by it by any means, but that person took offense because they're not in a good place when I did that and I didn't recognize it. So we have to be careful. We really do. There's so many hurting people in this world. It's just unreal. As a matter of fact, there's way more than 77.5 million hurting people in the world.
Right.
You know that.
At least, right? Those are the ones. Those are the ones. Yeah. Those are the ones that went online and said something.
Yeah. So. But look, I mean, all the drug users that are out there,
yeah,
they're hurting.
Yes.
Okay. All the,
yes,
people that are on alcohol.
Yes.
They're hurting.
Absolutely.
And all the other things that people do. The people that are involved in pornography, they're hurting. And it all stems back to our childhood, and, you know, probably a good 90% or higher of that is daddy issues. And that's where a lot of it comes from. But look, hey, you know, I just want to share a little bit of a testimony here.
Well, before you do that, Mark, real quick, I want to acknowledge a couple of things. Number one is I want to acknowledge those last week we threw out there. And again, I'll extend it this week too. And Mark and I and Alan will be sure to pray for you. But if you're hurting and you've been hurt by the church or hurt by somebody in the church, or if you're just hurting in general, email us at wayoftruthradio@gmail.com. wayoftruthradio@gmail.com. Not the way, just wayoftruthradio@gmail.com. If you'll just email us and put in the subject line hurting, there were a few of you last week that did that, and I want to publicly acknowledge on this program, we got your emails, you were prayed for. We stand in unity with you. We want to see you become whole. We want to see you get some healing and be able to forgive and to grow and move on. So I wanted to throw that out there. Number two, if you want to call in tonight and if you have a question or if you want to ask for prayers or whatever, you want to share a little bit, you can call in at 646-787-1949. Again, area code 646-787-1949. Feel free to call in. You can talk to myself and Pastor Mark here, and we'd be glad to pray for you over the phone lines here. So, all right, Mark, just want to throw that in there. Go ahead. Yeah, you're saying about your testimony?
Yeah, okay, Brent. Well, really, it's kind of two, being hurt by the church. So the first one, we have to go back Let's see, how old was I? 44. So we have to go back. We have to go back about 13 years. I was living in Georgia, and we were part of a church for 10 years. Did everything in the church, but basically preach.
Uh-huh.
Cleaned the church, changed baby diapers, was a deacon, was an usher, worked car a lot, did it all,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So everybody knew who we were. And lo and behold, went out on my son's 13th birthday and went to dinner. And that night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I had chest pains and got up to go get some water and just dropped to my knees in the living room, and I had a heart attack.
Wow.
And so that was on a Thursday. So I spent Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the hospital. I'm part of a church of 2,000 people, Brent, and I've been there for 10 years. And lo and behold, my wife, first thing Thursday morning, she calls and lets them know I'm in the hospital.
Yeah.
And do you know that it wasn't until maybe about 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon that somebody from the church came to check on me at the hospital?
Yeah.
And that was the only person that came. I never heard from the pastor. I never heard from anybody else in the entire church. And it crushed me. It devastated me.
Mm.
That, you know, I thought, well, there ought to be a few more people that concerned, but it didn't seem like anybody was concerned. Looking back on it, maybe God had his hand in that, but some friends of ours that have a ministry in a different town, they came by the house when I got home, and they bought meals, and they were there to pray with us and see that, you know, our needs were being met. And then we were part of their ministry for a good 5 years. So it took a little while to heal. But, I mean, that really hurt. The 10 years you've been serving somewhere, and it's like you don't even exist.
You know, Mark, I've heard – actually, it's funny you bring that particular example up. I actually heard there's a church up here, and they actually got up and had to talk about it in front of the congregation because it's a relatively – it wasn't 2,000. It's more like maybe a couple hundred, if that. And there was somebody that had some health issues in the church, and nobody from that church, which is a much smaller fellowship, you know, came to see him, came to pray over him. And the pastor had to get up and apologize because he's like, you know what? I'm human. I messed up. We should have done this. You know, we didn't. And, you know, to his good credit, he acknowledged it. But do you wonder sometimes, though, Mark, let's step back and look at this a little bit. You know, a church of that size, even though you're serving and you're connected, do you wonder about, like, how involved people are in each other's lives when you have a church that size?
Well, sometimes. I mean, we had deacons groups. We were deacons, and we had the largest group in the church.
Okay.
I had 27 families that were Danielle and I, we were responsible for. And I called my people every week and wrote a detailed report, you know, of what we talked about to give to the pastor so that he could pray over issues and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for us, that was our main group. But even though we had 7 different services on the weekend, 1 on Friday, 2 on Saturday, and 4 on Sunday, we had been to every service. People knew who we were, you know, but yeah, there is a disconnection sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I was just asking, I wonder sometimes on those churches of that size. And I mean, you guys were pretty connected. You guys were pretty.
Well, that's why we had like the home cell deacons groups, so
yes,
that people could get connected.
Sure.
But it's kind of like this. you know, in high school, the popular kids hung around the popular kids, or say in society, the rich hang around the rich and the middle class hang around the middle class and the poor, you know, they're just drawn to each other, right?
Right.
Well, in this church, it was the same way. The wealthier people were all part of this one's deacons group because those deacons were kind of wealthy. And Danielle and I were, I don't know, just the poor, distraught, and down and out always seemed to attract to us. And so that's who we found within our group. But it's sort of like little cliques within the church. And that's sad to say, but that's just
Reality. That's reality. Let's go back.
That's reality.
Going back to people and their flesh and stuff. So let me ask you this then. So obviously that was something that hurt you, like you expressed. How did you deal with that?
Well, dealt with it, a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first I didn't want to forgive. I was just angry and fuming. I couldn't believe that it happened and was just mad. Oh, my gosh. But then, you know, it's kind of like, look, it happened. We got to get over it. We're in a different place now, and so different church, smaller. We know everybody because they all used to be part of that church, or the majority of them did. So a lot of healing took place through warm, loving, friendly people, and the fact that I and Danielle, we had to forgive.
Yeah.
You know, we just had to get to the point where, okay, the pastor knew about it. He didn't delegate anybody to come out and see us. These are the people that should have come. They didn't. Lord, we forgive them.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we got healing. And then, you know, eventually we found ourselves out in a small town in Texas pastoring the church. And we threw our heart and soul into this.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was from sun up to way past sundown, 7 days a week. We never had a day off. We tried to take Mondays off.
Well, you're going to be one of those pastors then that worked the 75-hour plus week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know.
Plus.
And we were out there, but we started to see things begin to turn around after the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a big turnaround in the youth out there. Well, we were so desperate for help because we're doing it all ourselves. And you know, it's kind of like you're having to do so much for God, you can't spend a whole lot of time with Him.
Right.
So, Brent, I mean, for me to spend time with the Lord, I was going, baby, I'm going to have to get up at, you know, 4:30 and eat a little breakfast or something and drink a little coffee and go across the street over here to the church. And I'm going to have to pray from 5 to 7 and spend time with the Lord in the sanctuary. And that's what I would do, 2 hours every day, 5 days a week. And so we begin to see God move. And I was like, Lord, I really need some help. And out of the blue, these people called us, and they were in Chicago, and said, we see you're going to be having your 1 year anniversary and we want to come. And said, okay, we'll come. And they came, and then they wanted to stay and be a part of the church. And so right about the same time, I had some other California contact us, and they said, hey, we want to be your youth pastors. Feel like God is speaking to us. Well, I knew somebody that preached at the church where they were. I said, is this guy on the up and up? He said, yeah, I don't think he's any problem. So they came. First couple out of Chicago comes. She says, well, you know, I play keyboard and I could be the worship leader, because at that time we were piping in all of our worship.
Yeah.
Showing it on the big screen.
Sure.
And so she got up and she kind of auditioned for me. And I said, you know, you're really not a worship leader. You're a psalmist. And that's not really what I'm looking for. And so when I told her no, well, guess what? I mean, like the week before, they were saying, yeah, God says we're going to be here for the next 2 years and we're to help you. And then I tell her, no, you're not going to be my worship leader. And the next week they said, well, God spoke to us and said we're not to be a part of the church anymore. Okay. Well, guess
oops,
what?
God made a mistake, folks.
Yeah, God made a mistake. But that didn't hurt me too bad. Okay,
yeah.
I was okay with that. I don't even know if it hurt me at all.
Right.
But it was the next couple that what happened was, here they are, I'm letting them live in my house because they hadn't found a place to live. We've got a little old three-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath farmhouse.
Yeah.
Okay? And now all of a sudden we've got like 10 people in this house. And they're there, and of course, you know, that doesn't work too well because they live differently than you do and everything. Well, all of a sudden, he and this guy that just left the church, they get together, and they're talking about us behind our back and conspiring to take over and kick me out as the pastor, and one of them's going to be the pastor, and then, you know, the gal would be the worship leader. Then worship leader. And then I found out about this, and I was devastated. It was like somebody stuck a knife in my back. Well, let me tell you what, the Spirit of God rose up within me, and not patting myself on the back, it's the Spirit of God. I handled the whole thing very well. Danielle did not.
Right.
But once it was over with, and then we ended up moving out of the small town because we had no more support. They had come in and they destroyed the church, everything that we had worked so hard for. And so everybody left except for maybe two families. And all the church people in town were talking bad about us. And the only people that we could get any support from were the heathens around town, but there was no financial support. They just like, hey, you've been doing a good job. Hate to see you go.
Right.
So then we packed our bags and we moved back to Georgia because it was familiar territory. And then once I got back to Georgia, then that's where my hurt came.
Yeah.
Then I had time to calm down about the issue. And then, you know, it just hit me like a dam had bust. And let me tell you something. To be honest with the people out there in Radio Land, here's a guy that was spending 2 hours a day on his face in prayer 5 days a week, spending an hour or more in the Word of God every day. When I got back to Georgia and the hurt came, I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to read the Word. And I didn't want to forgive.
Yeah. You wanted to dwell on your flesh.
Truth,
yeah. Well, I mean, I go back to what I started the show with. That is that pastors are, you know, flesh and blood. Their flesh get in the way just like anybody else. They're human beings. And I was thinking about that number one statistic when you were just telling me your story there, your testimony. 97% of pastors have been betrayed by or falsely accused or hurt by their trusted friends, you know. That is, you know, you're a living example of that very first statistic, you know, and most people, they hear that and they think, oh, well, certainly it can't be 97%. Oh, yes, it can, you know.
No, if it's 3% that's not ponying up to that, it's because they just entered the ministry. That's all I can say.
They don't want to share their facts, okay? Yeah, that should probably be 100%.
Give them a year. It'll be a different story.
Right? That's funny. That's funny. Well, you know, let's hope not, but the reality is in the course of their ministry, they probably will be more than one. Go back to your story.
You know, when we left and we came here, okay, it didn't have anything to do with ministry. It had to do with the job, and Danielle had a great job offer to move here.
Yeah.
And she did. She came here, and then I came up 90 days later, and then the company she was working for decided to shut their doors down and move back to Arizona. They knew that I was coming, what day I was coming with the U-Haul, what time I was going to arrive in town. And they could have said, hey, you know, we're in financial difficulty here. You might not want to move here. But they didn't do that, and they let us come. And then 5 days later, we're both unemployed. And, I mean, it's just, you know what we've been through.
I do.
And that caused a lot of hurt.
Yeah.
So in the last, well, about the last 7 years, man, if I was a gunfighter in the old West, I'd be full of hope. I'm just telling you. But the key to it all is, number one, we have to walk in love.
Yeah.
And if love and forgiveness are connected. Okay, they're like twins, love and forgiveness, grace and mercy.
Yep.
Okay, you have to walk in love and forgiveness. Now, if you let it fester, like we were talking about earlier, it will cause a bitter root within your soul.
Oh, man.
And that root gives place to the devil.
Yeah.
And he will come in and he will destroy you. And I know that what happened in Texas almost destroyed me. I became very hurt and very wounded and very bitter.
Yeah.
But today I can tell you with all my heart that if I saw those people again, I could hug their neck. I might not want to go out to dinner with them, but I could hug their neck.
Yeah.
And I have no ill will against them.
Yeah.
They're God's children. He'll deal with them.
And I think, Mark, okay. I think the important thing there is that God can heal you. You just have to be ready to. Well, it's like you said. You said, okay, well, I didn't want to get on my face for 2 hours anymore. I didn't want to get in the Bible anymore. What I wanted to do was be in my flesh and just be mad for a while. And you know what? For a season, for a short season, that's completely understandable. I'm sure God recognizes that. But the sooner you can, where you're really going to find your healing, once you get over being in the pity party and feeling sorry for yourself, the healing is going to come from just doing exactly what you said, turning back to God, pressing into God. God, why did you allow this to happen? God, why, you know, and start that dialogue with God and let God start to work on you and show you things and maybe show you some things about yourself, but more importantly, show you, well, here's what you can learn from that, Mark. You know, you kind of did this and you didn't really. You know, our Brent, it could be anybody, but, you know, you didn't really.
Well, I ran that gamut because I said, as the pastor, I should have seen this coming, though I don't know if God warned me, but like I say, the discernment's not the greatest gift within me. It is within Danielle, but even Danielle didn't have a check in her spirit.
Yeah.
So God allowed it to happen for a reason.
That's right.
We've seen some people kind of slide back into the world. But we've seen others go on with Jesus.
And become stronger. Yeah, yeah.
And then we had a couple of two heathen brothers in their teens living across the street from us. And they were the hell raisers around town. And today, they're both serving God.
Hmm.
They're seeking him and they're serving him. And they have changed their life. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it wasn't just me, it's other people in town too, but I know we had a big part in
that's
that.
Right. That's
and
right.
So, you know, now the rest of it, I don't know, and one day I'll figure it all out, but right now I'm trying to focus on other things here in Indianapolis.
Well,
let me say,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
I just want to say that, see, you know, we're, our souls are full of painful debris, okay? And our soul expresses itself through our spirit man.
Yes.
So if we're hurt, like I said earlier, if we're hurt and wounded, then we're going to hurt and wound people.
Yeah.
Okay? It's just that's how it is, okay? So if your soul is a rambling wreck of open sores and wounds, then how healthy is your spirit man going to be?
Not at all. Not at all. Well, I got something for you to ponder. You know, you're talking about your move to Indianapolis and everything, and what God may have been doing in that situation where you were kind of cast out there in Texas, ended up back in Atlanta, and then ultimately here in Indianapolis. Mark, the reality of the situation is this, is, you know, and I've said it last week, is that it doesn't matter how many times you fail or you fall down or get knocked down, get the wind knocked out of your sails. The important thing is getting back up. And I always say you need to fail forward, at least get up and fall forward. You know what I mean? And keep moving forward. And so the reality of this whole situation is, Mark, had those events had not transpired, we wouldn't be on the radio tonight trying to help other people together. You know what I'm saying? This wouldn't even be happening.
That's very true. And you have known my story since the day that I arrived, because you and three of your buddies were there to help us unload the trailer.
Mm.
And so you have known and seen what's happened to us ever since we've been here. And you're right. Through these experiences, maybe we're helping a few people out there tonight.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about is that it doesn't take away the fact that both you and I have been hurt in the church setting by people and that we trusted or people in positions of authority. The difference is that we didn't, and I think you touched on it earlier, some people have been blown out of the church. The first time it happened to me, I was blown out of the church for 20 years before getting born again back in 2008 of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, and when I was born again, and I shared this last week, I really felt like God pressed upon me Brent, make sure you put your faith and trust in me, because boy, I tell you, if you put it in man, you're going to be disappointed time and time again. And that's what you did last time. Put it in me, let me be the rock, and you'll never be disappointed. You know what, Mark, I gotta be honest with you. So when that next trial came, and I was hurt in my flesh, but I'll tell you, I recovered a lot faster because I was able to remember the words of my Lord when he said, put your faith and trust in me. And it just brought me such peace and comfort that I thought, all right, Lord, you know what? You're right. I need to stay focused on you, focused on what you have for me, what you want me to do. And I'll be able to move forward and I'll get through this, you know, and I did. And it was a great learning experience. And I thank God for giving me that word. He knew what was coming down the pike, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, we've both been hurt, but the thing is we've gotten healing.
Yes.
We've gotten restoration, and that's the next thing that I wanted to talk about was restoration, because people have been hurt, and there's people out there listening to us right now that you've been hurt. Okay. You have to understand that the other person doing the hurting, they're hurt themselves. You have to love and forgive. Once you forgive them, or even say, Lord, help me to forgive them, because right now I can't do it wholeheartedly, but I want to start, then that allows God to deal with that person. It also allows God to begin to heal your wounds.
Yeah.
The word, if we look at restoration, okay, restore, restored, restoreth, restore. It's used 71 times in the Word of God. We're all broken people. He's putting us all back together. Okay? Restoration means to put or bring back into a former or original state. Definition, I think of, you take a piece of antique furniture and you restore it. Or you take an old car and you know, out of the junkyard, and some of these guys, man, they're so wonderful. They take that thing and they work on it a little bit, and then the next thing you know, it's on Mika Model Auctions or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they have restored it back to its original showroom condition.
Right.
Okay, and that's what God wants to do with us. And so when I look at that, and then we look at Psalm 23:3. Psalm 23:3 says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God will bring restoration.
Mm.
God will restore you. The key, though, is we got to walk in love and forgiveness.
Yeah. Let me touch on.
We have to forgive. If we don't, you keep using, and I like this. That's why I'm using it again. That bitter root.
Yeah.
Takes hold.
Yeah. Well, let's touch on what you just said something. I had this great visual as you're talking about restoration, right? And let's look at the example you gave of somebody that restores an old car, restores it to its original specifications, right? Somebody today that takes a 68 Camaro or Corvette or whatever and restores it back to showroom quality, to the way it was when it came off the factory line, do you know that that car today is worth so much more now than it was when it rolled off brand new the assembly line? And
absolutely.
So what we're saying is
hundreds of thousands,
so much better and worth so much more. And so when you are a Christian that has been hurt by the church or somebody in the church, you're able to forgive, and God starts that restoration project in you. The new Christian that emerges, who God has restored, is so much more valuable to his kingdom, because now there's a testimony that goes along with it. Now there's a story of victory. There's a story of overcoming, right? And so much more valuable to the kingdom.
Amen.
The Lord was just giving me that as you're talking. I'm like, yes, Lord. Yeah, you're right. You know, that's a great illustration. That's an awesome illustration.
When these guys restore these old cars, one of the things that, you know, like when they're grading the car and valuing the car, even the minute details of the sticker on the tire. You know, the spare tire had that white sticker still attached to it.
Yeah.
The original window sticker. These are things that they look for. And you know what? They don't consider it fully restored if you don't have those things. But I'm here to tell you today, folks, that God will put the sticker back on you and give you the original purchase price.
And
the window sticker.
And you'll be so much more valuable than when you rolled off the original assembly line, right?
Yes, you will. Look, Jeremiah 30:17, it says, "For I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds."
Hmm.
Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Let me say that again. Jeremiah 30:17. "For I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds."
Yeah.
Have you ever met, usually it's a woman, okay? Sometimes it's a man, but usually it's a woman. She's a bitter old woman. I mean, just bitter. There's nothing, anything nice that ever comes out of her mouth. She's always saying something mean. You even wonder why her husband puts up with her. The dog doesn't even like her. I've been in many of those homes. The husband's still a great guy. The children are what they are, but the relationship is like it's toxic. But everybody else's for hers. I don't know what happens to these people. I don't know what causes this, but this is what happens. They get hurt and they choose to hold on to that hurt.
Right.
Okay. Now you said for a short season.
Right.
A short season, it's okay to be angry. I agree with that. Okay.
Well, that's our flesh, and so what I'm saying is let's allow ourselves the quick reality that we are flesh and blood, and so it's somewhat natural to be in our flesh for a very short period of time. It has to be a short period of time, lest that bitter root take hold.
Right. So that's what happens, though. These people, they get hurt, they get wounded. Something's happened. It didn't go their way. They allow this hurt and this wound to begin to fester. They choose not to forgive. Now that root of bitterness, I really do like that, Brent. That's good. I like that term.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you use it three times, if you give me credit twice, the third time it's yours. So
Okay.
That's what I've always. Hey, that's what I've always heard anyway.
It's mine now.
All right, it's all yours.
And Alan Dayton didn't have anything to do with it.
It'll be Alan's next week when he listens to the podcast. All right, go ahead.
Right. So what happens is now years have gone by, and they are in ill health.
Mm.
Have you ever seen those?
Oh yeah,
before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like they're always sick. There's always something wrong with them.
Always sick. It's just there's always something wrong. Right? They're the sourpusses of life, but they choose not to forgive.
Yeah.
Family reunion, either they're not going, or if they do, everybody avoids that person like the plague.
Yeah.
But they become ill in health because this stuff will begin to cause sickness and disease in your life if you don't get it out of there. And so that's why down Jeremiah 30:17, when I was talking about restoration,
yeah.
For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds.
You know, last week, Mark, I love that verse, because last week I was really impressing upon people in that initial show was that what we really want to focus on is to get them whole again, right? We want them to get whole again. And going back to your illustration of the bitter old lady, you know, that everybody, that's Mrs. Johnson, and she's mad at everybody all the time. You know, that's somebody that has taken hold of something and internalized it, and they're not whole. And because they're not whole, they're not going to ever be what God wants them to be. You know, they're never going to be that true person that God wants them to be, because they're not whole. There's a big piece of them missing, and it's missing because they can't find forgiveness. And so I do like the word restoration. I do like that verse you're reading about how God will heal the wounds and restore, and that's just a key verse, really. That's a key verse of what we're talking about.
Right. Well, I've got another scripture I want to share here real quick. You'll find it in Colossians. We'll go to chapter 3, and we're going to look at 10 through 14. We could go all the way to probably 17 or 18 if we wanted, but for time's sake, I'm just going to read these few verses here. It's something that we as Christians are to put on, like the armor of God. This is something else that we're to put on.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Verses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot
forgiveness.
There. Yeah,
love and forgiveness. Big key if you want to get healthy and whole.
Well, one of the things, too, Mark, I read last week was 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 11. And it's Paul's instructions to the church in Corinth about how to forgive somebody that's offended, right? And so it says, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient to everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us and that we are not unaware of his schemes. Now, essentially what that's talking about is how we are to forgive, and the fact that somebody that has had an offense, if they've been called out, we should try to restore that person as soon as possible, unless they become overwhelmed with excessive sorrow, like Paul said. And Paul said, that's the perfect recipe of the devil right there. Number one, you're not forgiving, so he's got a foothold on you. He's using your pride against you. Number two, whoever the offender is going into excessive sorrow. Now that the devil's got foothold number two, because now that guy doesn't see a way out and feels condemned the rest of his life. And so the church doesn't do any favors when we don't handle things the way Scripture tells us we should handle that. When somebody does stumble or somebody does fall, how we should quickly come back alongside them as soon as they, you know, come to repentance, realize they made a mistake and want to change. As soon as they get to that point of realization, we need to be right there alongside them, restoring them. I mean, agree or disagree?
No, I wholeheartedly agree. And when we go about things non-scripturally,
yes,
so that would mean we do things through the flesh, and, you know, you can use this going back to drugs and demons as well, the episode we did on that.
Yeah.
When we do things through the flesh, what we do is we go through a 10 or 12 or 20-step program.
Right.
And the person gets a little bit better. But once again, all they're doing is cutting the weed off at ground level, and they're never digging down and getting to the root. So therefore, I went to rehab, or I went to counseling for this hurt and wound, or I went to rehab for this drug issue that I had, or this alcohol issue, and I went through a six-week program, and I come out and I feel better. But then 3 months down the road, what happens is the root problem hasn't been taken care of, and it begins to sprout again. So now it's more counseling, more halfway house, more this, more that. And we in the church, or whether it's a hurt and a wound, whether it's somebody in blatant sin within the church, whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever the issue may be, we're dealing with it on a psychological level now, and we're not letting the Holy Spirit get in there and do what he needs to do to remove the issue.
Well, you bring up a great issue, and that is counseling. You know, we have more counselors in the United States than the rest of the world combined. Now, let that sink in for a minute. We have more counselors, people that are actively engaged in the profession of counseling, than the rest of the world combined here in America. Well, that's how many we have here. So, I mean, this whole idea of, if we have that many people that are counseling, number one, here's what I'd like to suggest, Mark. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Number one, that tells me that there are an awful lot of people that are pretty self-absorbed. They're so caught up in their own circumstances. Oh, woe is me. And now I'm not talking about people that have legitimate gripes, you know, or legitimate problems, you know, abuses and things like that. I'm talking about people that are just caught up in the mundane things of life that they can't take the focus off themselves long enough. So they go, you know, it has given rise to this massive, massive business model of counseling, to the point of where we have more counselors in the United States than anywhere else in the world combined. And so that just tells me that we're awfully self-absorbed. And in saying that, what I would like to submit is that maybe a lot of people that have been hurt or feel like they've been hurt or offended or whatever, they really need to start with self-examination. And that is, you need to examine yourself and maybe, just maybe, realize I might be part of the problem. I might be part of the problem. And so that, you know, that self-reflection in that way, that inner dialogue is great. But at the end of the day, I mean, ultimately, we're called to die to self. As Christians, we're called to die to ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. And so, you know, you got that many, and Christian counseling, don't even get me started on that. I mean, that's another whole show in and of itself, this whole industry of Christian counseling now. I mean, how self-absorbed are we in the church that we got to have all this, you know, counseling? And And I mean, how about we die to ourselves and put ourselves last and think the
least? No, that might offend some.
Oh my gosh, I know. I'm treading on thin ice here. Well, I'm not the most PC person, so that probably makes sense.
Yeah, if we're to die to self, if we're to crucify our flesh, if we're supposed to be dead in Christ, I have a pastor friend that has a great message. It's called "You Can't Offend a Dead Man."
That's a great message.
Right?
Great message.
It takes maturity to get to that point.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not for a beginner in that's just come to Christ. And even somebody that's been serving Christ as long as I have at times been there, and at times, more times than not, I struggle with that. But that was such a good message that I constantly remember that one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
You can't offend a dead man.
No, you cannot. Well, Mark, we're coming to the end of the show here. So just to kind of wrap things up for tonight, and we'll pick back up again next week and move forward on this one for at least one more show, maybe two. Any words, parting words for people out there that, you know, that are, we talked about restoration. We talked about, you know, getting rid of the bitter root. We talked about, you know, getting whole again, you know, any final thoughts, final words for people out there. And then we'll just kind of wrap things up.
Well, I guess my final thoughts are number one that, you know, both Danielle and I, you have parts of your personality that are healed, and God only wants to expound on that and make it even better. But we have so many areas of our life that are unhealed. And when we out of that, out of our flesh, this is what comes forth. When we operate out of sin, this is what comes forth. The unhealed portions of our personality. And they can lash out and cause anger, resentment, hurt, bitterness, all sorts of stuff. That then the devil uses that to gain a foothold in your life. If you walk in love, we read the scripture out of Colossians, out of chapter 3, 10 through 15. Read that tonight. But if we walk out of love and forgiveness, which is what God has commanded us to do to those who have done us wrong, then he will begin to restore us and make us, according to Brent Chance, better than the new product. Yeah. We'll be more valuable than the new product. And according to Jeremiah, he'll bring health to our body and restoration to our soul.
All right. Well, Mark, hey, I really appreciate you joining me tonight. And you know, you're such a great servant of God. And like I said earlier, man, if those things hadn't happened to you down in Texas, we wouldn't be here tonight on the radio trying to help other people. So God bless you, man. Tell Danielle I love you guys, and I'll connect with you here soon.
Okay. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks, buddy. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. So just again, just to recap, you know, do me a favor. Go to the Bible, and if you have to search it, look it up, and figure out how many times Jesus said that we're supposed to forgive somebody. You know, because the disciples came to him and they said, "Well, how many times should we forgive?" And his answer was, it was a specific number, but that wasn't the point. The point he was trying to make was, you don't ever quit forgiving. Right. You got to be quick to forgive. Got to have a short memory. You got to move on unless the bitter root take hold, unless we get caught unawares of the devil's schemes, like Paul said in Corinthians. Well, hey, listen, I really appreciate you guys tuning in tonight. Again, if you want to connect with us on Way of Truth Radio, the best way to do that is through Facebook at this point. Just go to Facebook.com facebook.com/Way of Truth Radio. Be sure to like our page. I want to thank everybody again this week for driving people to the site. Over 20,000 people this week have seen some of the posts, so that's just a phenomenal number, and I'm just amazed by what God's doing there. If you're hurting, email us. Email us at wayoftruthradio@gmail.com. Wayoftruthradio@gmail.com. Myself or one of the pastors will pray for you. We will cover you in prayer. We'll come alongside you in prayer. And our whole message tonight, Mark and I know his heart's the same as mine, is we just want to see you guys get to be free and to be whole. So thank you guys all so much. I'll see you next week. Again, we'll pick back up on this series for episode 3 of Hurt by the Church, Finding Forgiveness and Peace. Thanks so much.